good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Romans chapter 15, I want to ask you this morning, how big is your hope? I ask that question, and as I think about different situations and different people in life, I begin to ask myself a second question. How do you view the world right now? For some of you, things are going well, and you're excited about your life. You're excited about the things God is doing. You're seeing things go forward. For some of you, you're still trying to deal with what's happened to your bank account over the last 18 months and thinking, okay, how am I going to retire? Or how long, much longer am I going to have to work? Or is this going to last? For some of you, you're thinking about health issues. When you view the world right now, you have to view it through that tunneled vision of what's going on in your health. What's going on in the health of your spouse. There are a lot of different ways that we could view the world right now. You see, I believe the hope to live our Christian lives comes from God. Let me say that again. The hope to live our Christian lives comes entirely from God. And we see that in Romans 15, verse 13, especially. Romans 15, verse 13. I'm reading from the New King James. I don't know what you're using, but the New King James reads, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is a wonderful verse. It's one of my favorite verses in Romans, and Romans has a lot of wonderful verses to it. Romans 15, verse 13. "Now may the God of hope..." Hope is all from God. Many of us know verses that talk about who God is and what God is like. The most common in the world is God is love. From 1 John. We see that God is many things throughout Scripture. If we look at the end of this chapter, verse 33. "Now, the God of peace." God is a God of peace. Many religions, and some in particular that we could mention this morning, don't have a God of peace. Go back to verse 5. "Now, may the God of patience and comfort..." Are you glad you have a God of patience? I need a God of patience. I need a God of comfort. May the God of patience and comfort. But in the verse that we're talking about this morning, we see Him as the God of hope. Hope is all from God. God is the author. He's the source. He's the reason for true hope. Not our government. Not our situation, not our job. Those things all change. It's all flexible. God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. So when He says He is the God of hope, that means something. It's easy to get depressed when we think about what's going on in the world, right? It's easy to get depressed when we think about the negative things that are happening in our life and what's going on around us. It's easy to take our eyes off of God and who He is and place them on our situations. Did you know that the Romans had a God of hope? You know, the Romans had many, many, many gods. And Rome was full of all kinds of temples and different places to the different gods that they had. They had a big, beautiful wooden cathedral. I don't know if any of you like to work in wood, but they had 38 hand-polished woods from around the world in this big wooden building structure that was there for the God of hope in downtown Rome during Paul's day. Well, history tells us that one day that building got struck by lightning and burned it to the ground. History also records that within 2 months of that event happening, people stopped worshiping the God of hope. Even the main priest and priestesses of the God of hope abandoned him and went on and worshiped in other temples. They never rebuilt the temple to the God of hope. This is a beautiful wood building. I like this building very much. But if this building got struck by lightning this week, and I hope it doesn't, burns to the ground, I trust that you'll continue to worship our true God of hope. The true God of hope, because he doesn't depend on a building, does he? Not at all. God of hope. The God of hope wants to be active. He wants to be doing something. The God of hope fill you. You know, no one is hopeless as long as the grace of Jesus Christ still flows. Nobody. Our ministry in Sydney, Australia is church planting. Missions is a lot of things these days, but there still has to be some people who get out there and are involved in evangelism and church planting so that the church can go forward around the world. So that our eventual goal in Sydney, Australia is that Sydney won't be an area that needs missionaries, but will be an area that is sending missionaries around the world. As we're involved in that, Sydney is a city of 5.2 million people, growing at the pace of between 1,000 and 1,200 people every week. So there are a lot of people who move into the city from mostly from other countries in the world. A lot of people coming to Sydney. Why? It's a fabulous place to live. It's good. Our weather is almost always like this, or a little bit warmer. We get 76% of our days are beautiful blue skies, about this temperature. We have about 6 weeks it's a little bit hotter, 6 weeks it's a little bit colder, and that's our year. Okay? Not too bad at all. And the people of Sydney are very friendly, very nice. But most of the people of Sydney need the gospel. And so we're there to be involved in evangelism and church planting and seeing the work go forward there. And as our ministry has had the opportunity to reach out to people, sometimes it's the migrants that we see come in. A couple of years ago, we met a young lady that one of our people of our church invited came from Pakistan. In Pakistan, we wouldn't have the opportunity to reach out to her with the gospel. Coco came to our church and accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior in a women's Bible study. So we're seeing migrants come to know Jesus Christ. Met a guy in the city streets of Parramatta. Successful by the world's view. A real estate agent doing fine. But a man who was really hurting. A man who needed hope. Who had no hope at all in his life. Became a friend of his and I introduced him to another friend. We do what we call tag team evangelism in Australia. Tag team wrestling. The one gets tired and he tags the other guy and he comes in. Well, in Australia, we do tag team evangelism. In other words, I introduce my friends that I'm trying to lead to Christ to somebody else who will also try to lead them to Christ within our church. So that when they come to church, they say, oh, yeah, I know you. And I know you. And, hey, I met you at so-and-so's barbecue. And, yeah, I've seen you before too. And that way they feel very much at home when they come to our church. Good idea. Maybe you can try some of that here. Works quite well in Sydney, Australia. And over the time of dealing with a guy who had no hope at all, we began to introduce him to the God of hope. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And man, you talk about change in a person's life. Roger was a person who believed everything the world had to offer was for him. He tried all of it. Drugs? Oh, yeah. Experiences? Oh, yeah. Sexual things? Mm-hmm. And it all left him so empty. He had no hope, was a man miserable. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and set those things aside. And began looking to God for the hope to live his life. And he's a changed man. God is doing some wonderful things in his heart and life. And Roger is reaching out to other people that he knows now and saying, man, you want to talk about what changed my life? let's talk about God then. It wasn't things, it wasn't experiences, it wasn't money. It was God who changed my life. Because God is the God of hope. God is the God of hope. This God of hope wants to be doing something in your life, in my life, in the life of people in Sydney. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's the next phrase. All fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know, I believe that when we lack joy and peace in our life, we ought to question our believing. Did you catch that? We ought to question our believing when we lack joy and peace in our life. There are many verses within the Bible that talk about hope. They talk about being ready to give the hope, give the answer for the hope that's within us. Romans uses hope over and over again. Well, we have to believe the Word of God when we're talking about all of this. So many times I believe that the church here in America, just like the church in Australia, wants to grab their definitions for the things that God is trying to tell us from our everyday experience and from our culture and not from the Word of God. Therefore, we get all messed up and don't know what's going on and can't figure out why we have no joy, why we have no peace. Can I give you some examples of this? Let's look at some of these words, shall we? The first word in here, God wants to fill you with all. You know what all means, right? Okay. He wants to fill you with all joy. He wants to fill you with all joy. As I talk with people in everyday life, they equate joy and happiness. Joy is not the same as happiness. Biblically speaking, and if I had several hours, I could take you into the Word of God and we could really draw this out and you could see the difference. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy is an inside-out satisfaction with what God is doing in my life. Happiness depends on what happens. This last year, for the first time in my life, on my birthday, I got a car. Now, you might think, wow, but if you knew that it was a minivan, you might not go so wow. when we left Australia, through the internet, on eBay, I bought a car. The last thing I did before I walked out of my office was watch myself get the winning bid on a car setting in Miami, Florida. Got the winning bid, saw that I got the winning bid. As soon as the auction was done, I turned the computer off, literally walked out of my office door, locked it, walked out of the house and into the car, and went to the airport. I mean, the time between the end of the bid and the time between when I got in the car to head to the airport was probably less than 30 seconds, because I was late. Okay? got to see the car the first time on my birthday, and I was so happy that it was what I ordered. It was what I bid on, and it has been a very good car. I was so happy. But joy is an inside-out satisfaction. It's what God is doing in my life. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's about what God wants to do in my life. Not about things fitting together on the surface. God wants to fill your life with joy. That deep inside-out satisfaction. The next word in the list. Not only does God want to fill your life with an inside-out satisfaction, God wants to fill your life with peace. How many of you want peace in your life? Yeah. We all need the peace, don't we, in our life? The problem is, most of us probably think of peace by the world's definition of peace. Peace, yes, people in the street today, you know what the number one answer in America, as I've been asking people what they think of peace is? Number one answer is, no war, or absence of hostility, no hostility. That's what peace is. Well, that's the world's definition. That's not God's. It can't be God's definition, because if we were to take the time to dig into it, you would see that in the Old Testament, God told the people of Israel and Joshua to be at complete peace, and then he sends them into war. He sends them into battle. So it can't be the biblical definition for peace. What is peace according to the Bible? Well, peace, number one, knowing that God is good. Do you know that God is good? Yes, God is always good. Knowing that God is good and God has all the power to do what's best for my life. That's when I have peace. When I can't sleep in the middle of the night and I'm laying there thinking about what I need to get done, I'm not at peace, am I? When I wake up in the middle of the night and all these things flood my mind that want to keep me from going back asleep, and I say, God has all the power to do what's best for my life, I can doze back off to sleep. Peace. Not the world's definition of peace, but God's definition of peace. God wants to give you all joy and all peace in believing. There's another word we ought to look at. Believing, world says it's what I choose to think about something. God's definition is different. God's definition for believing is placing our trust in God. Placing our trust in and ordering our lives around God, the character of God. We could talk about unbelievers here. Do unbelievers need to believe God to have joy and peace in their life? Yes, they do. If you want to come to my house, and I invite everybody in this room to our place. Not all at once, please. But I invite you to come down and see our life and our ministry in Australia. I'm serious about that. Come and visit us. If you're going to come to my house, follow my directions, how to get there. Okay? If I tell you to fly into Sydney, and from Sydney, don't go out of the airport, go to the extreme right, as you're heading towards the door, go to the right, all the way down to the train station, take the train to Blacktown. In Blacktown, turn to the left two blocks, up four blocks, you're at my house. Okay? Not too hard. Don't make up your own way to get to my house. Don't walk out the front door of the airport and start knocking on doors trying to find my house. There's 5.2 million people, you're going to be knocking on a lot of doors before you find my house. If I tell you to go take the train to Blacktown, don't take the train to Wollongong. That's the wrong direction. You're not going to get there. If God says, through Jesus Christ, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father, and where's the Father? He's in heaven. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Don't make up your own way to get there. He's given you how to get there. Believe Him. He's been there. He knows what He's talking about. Okay? Believe Him. But in this passage, Paul is talking to believers, not to unbelievers. So believing is as much for us believers, those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Are we believing what God wants to do in our life? Maybe where God wants to send us. Or are we trying to do what we want to do in our life? Are we believing our culture? Are we believing at our government that hope comes from the government instead of from God? Who are we believing? He wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Abound. There's another word. What does abound mean? The Greeks had a couple words for abound. One is the fizzy, bubbly kind of stuff. Oh, yay. That's not this word. This word, you know, in Australia, we don't get root beer. It's just not one of the drinks that we get. Root beer can kind of get all that bubbly and fizzy, you know. This is not that kind of stuff, though. This is you're there at the restaurant, you order a root beer, and you want a refill. And so instead of bringing you a second glass and setting it on the table, the waitress comes over with this fire hose full of root beer and gives you all that you can handle faster than you think you can handle it. That's what this word abound is. All that you think you can handle faster than you think you can handle it. God wants to do that in your life with hope, with joy, and with peace. He wants to give you all the hope you can handle. Are any of us there this morning? God wants to give you all you can handle faster than you think you can handle it. So what is hope? What is hope? The world says hope is, well, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. I hope to eat this afternoon. Yeah, I have pretty good inkling that I will eat this afternoon, okay? There's plenty of restaurants around. Plenty of places to get some good food. But the Bible says hope is confident assurance. Confident assurance in God. That's what hope is. It's not maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. It's confident assurance. God wants to fill you with maybe things will be okay, maybe things won't. No. He wants to fill you with confident assurance in who He is. That He does know what's going on in your life. And that He is able to see you through it. He is able to draw you closer to Himself. To give you joy and peace in every stage of life. But notice with me that the verse isn't done yet. We're almost done, but the verse isn't. Because the verse goes on to say, He wants to fill you with all joy and peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the first things that I see in this verse is it's not about trying harder. Many Christians try hard. Oh, I'm going to do this for God. It's not about trying harder. If you want to try harder, you can do some things for a little while and then you're going to get burned out or you're going to get distracted or you're going to get any number of other things. It's not about trying harder to have, I'm going to have that hope, I'm going to summon up that hope, No. It's not about trying harder. The other thing it's not about is it's not about me. It's not about what I get out of it. This was brought home to me again this week. It's not about, God, this is my plans. I hope you bless it. God, this is my idea. I hope that's okay with you. It's not what it's about. It's not about me. It's about knowing that God is the God of hope. God knows what He wants to do. God knows where He wants me and when He wants me there. God knows where He wants you. And when He wants you there. That includes work tomorrow. Or that includes being with your friends tomorrow. Or being with, you know, God knows each of your situations and where God wants you. It's about being there in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the verses that's had the biggest impact on me in the last year, me personally, is Isaiah 26:12. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us. For you have indeed done for us all our works. God wants to do it. God wants to do it. He's just looking for people who will say, here am I, send me. God wants people at your work tomorrow who are willing to say, God, here am I, send me to work. God wants you in whatever your job is to say, God, I'm here today. Send me to the people you want me to be involved in. The hope to live that way, the hope to live our Christian lives comes all from God. He's the author, He's the source, He's the reason, He's even the supplier of that hope. As we think through this morning, I want to ask just three quick questions in closing for this to apply to your life today, this week. Number one, are you pressing on to know the Lord? There are a lot of things that come on in our life, and we could say, well, yeah, you know, I know God. I go to church. I've been going to church for years. Well, then how come in the Old Testament, Hosea had to condemn the priests because they weren't pressing on to know the Lord? You will not grow in your hope unless you are growing in your knowledge of God and who He is and what He wants to do. Are you pressing on to know the Lord? Hosea had to tell the priests, know the Lord. Press on to know the Lord. And give some urgency to that. Do you want to get to know God better? It's the only way you're going to increase your hope. Question number two. When our joy and our peace are lacking, are we willing to consciously change our focus and look at our hope being from God? When we lack joy and peace, are we going to be there again this week?
Yeah, likely.
We're human. There's going to probably be some time this week, because you've heard the message this morning, and Satan's going to bring into your life the opportunity to lack joy and peace this week. Okay? It's probably going to happen. When you do lack joy and peace this week, are you willing to consciously change your focus